Hey everyone, welcome to the Tribe Culture Life podcast, where our stories and our lives matter. I'm your host, Brittany Montgomery, and I invite you to listen in a few times a month as I chat about issues that we as members of the Black and POC communities face every day. I'll be sharing stories and perspectives that matter to you, from raising children to relationships, entrepreneurship, and traveling, and all aspects in between. If any of those topics interest you, you are definitely my tribe, and you are definitely in the right place. So I want to thank Lisa's Makerspace for sponsoring today's episode. Lisa's Makerspace specializes in unique, culturally minded, handcrafted gifts featuring images that look like us. One of my personal favorites is the 120-piece puzzle. The images are bright and vibrant, and they make for a relaxing, quiet activity once the kids are in bed. Plus, bonus, once they're complete, you have a beautiful piece of artwork to display. For more info, go to alldaybrittany.com/Lisa's Maker Space, all one word, and make sure to use the code ALLDAY at checkout for a free gift with your purchase. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Tribe Culture Life podcast. Today, I am chatting with Yolanda Williams, the host of the Parenting Decolonized podcast, and also co-founder of Conscious Parenting Time. And we're talking about all things conscious parenting, or positive parenting, as you may have heard it called. Yolanda, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So I feel like my first question is, how are you doing? Because I know conscious parenting, at least for me, is not necessarily like a straight line anyway. And then you kind of throw in, like, you know, the pandemic. And then, of course, being a busy mom, I know you have so much going on. So how has this year been for you?
It has been so many ups and downs. There's some great things that have happened this year, but also just trauma, you know, from the election and from all the racialized trauma that we're experiencing. It's just ups and downs. And so what I try to do is be kind to myself, and I take breaks when I need to. Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess, is that how you kind of juggle? Because that was going to be my next question. So how do you kind of juggle with like your business and then everything that you're passionate about with also being there for your daughter and being present and all of that?
I had to make some hard decisions recently. I had a full-time job. I was a customer service representative. And I was, you know, running Parents Decolonized, doing podcasts, doing Conscious Parenting Time. I had my group. I'm a social media consultant, so I have clients that I do social media for, and I was doing this full-time job, and I have a two-year-old. And so one day my mom came over and she's like, yeah, you need to spend more time with her. I had to have her leave me alone for it. I was just like, mommy has to work, you know? And I recently decided that the full-time job had to go, and I quit that job. And I also let go of some of the, I guess, ideals that we have around like children and schedules and those kind of things, and just embrace what works for our family. And it's just her and I. So what works for us is co-sleeping. She doesn't really have a bedtime. She kind of just goes to sleep whenever she wants to. She takes lots of naps, and I just work around her schedule. And that's how I'm able to get stuff done.
Got you. I love that. Thank you for sharing. I was really genuinely curious. I have a lot going on as well. I've got the three kids and then, of course, this newly launched podcast. And then I have a day job, too. And it just is, I feel like every single day is like nuts. So it's always interesting hearing from other moms, like how you kind of deal with, you know, juggling everything.
I mean, yeah, and it's always going to be that way. That's the thing. Yeah. I think just understanding and accepting that there's always, unless you are completely rich and you have nannies and cooks and everything else, we always are going to be juggling. And it's just trying to figure out what's best for your family, not trying to do what everyone else does, 7 p.m. bedtime, because everyone else is doing it. Like, Gia does not go down. Whenever she goes to sleep early, she wakes up at 4 a.m. And that's not good for me, because I go to bed at around 1. So I get like 3 hours of sleep. No, ma'am. Nope.
Yeah, definitely. I get that. Yeah, my kids are the same way. So we have tried to, I think that's me too, like with the scheduling and everything, like I have to learn to let up just a little bit and figure out what's working. So yeah, definitely always a journey for sure. Mm-hmm. So for those that are unfamiliar with conscious parenting, tell us a little bit about that term and I guess kind of how you would define it.
So I think that people kind of use conscious and positive parenting interchangeably. Mm-hmm. And for me, they're different. I feel like conscious parenting really kind of centers the parents. Our mood, our mindset, any kind of trauma we may have had in our childhood, mm-hmm. how we're feeling in the day, our stress levels, our self-care. And we use those things to kind of gauge how we are interacting with our children. Mm-hmm. Conscious parenting helps us take care of ourselves so we're not pouring from an empty cup, but also being aware of ourselves so we're not passing on, you know, harmful behaviors or mindsets onto our children. We parent with empathy, nonviolence, and try our best. You know, it's never going to be 100%, y'all, but we try our best to not yell and to connect before we apply any consequences.
Gotcha. And so what kind of made you decide to go that route? Was there like a defining moment when you had Gia or anything like that?
When I got pregnant, I decided to study like I was studying for the SAT. Like I'm trying to get mm-hmm. into Harvard. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just figured I really want to understand parenthood. I didn't grow up being parented this way. And I knew I wanted to do something different with mine. I didn't understand how beneficial it is to the brain development. So when I understood that, once I read some books and I understood, because part of conscious parenting is also doing your research about like neuroscience and brain development and child development. So you understand what is age appropriate behavior and you're not reacting to normal things in a very negative way. So once I did that research, I was like, yes, this is definitely for me. And at first it was about positive discipline. Mm-hmm. But what I find with positive parenting is that the focus is really on the children and it kind of pushes the parents to the background. And I like to remind people that, you know, the most important person in your life is you. You cannot give your kids what you don't have for yourself, mm-hmm. you know? So our growth as parents in getting the therapy, you know, doing the work, those things will always help our children. And I want to make sure that I'm doing what's best for me so I can do what's best for her, you know? So that's kind of how I decided, like, I need to, for my own healing and for my own just well-being, I want to practice this type of parenting. I don't want to hit her ever. I want to make sure that if I'm feeling stressed out, I need to figure out ways to consciously deal with my own stress and I take it out on her. It's almost like self-help for parents. If you really get into it, you'll realize that it goes into so many different parts of your life.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's so crazy because my oldest is 4 and I joined your group, Conscious Parenting for the Culture, when she was, 2? Yeah, right after her second birthday, because like what we were doing was not working, but I didn't know what else to do instead. So yeah, so it's been that long. And I feel like this year it's finally starting to hit me. Probably because now, like, my husband was in Korea last year and now he's here. So we were parenting together as opposed to me just kind of like handling everything on my own. Or he was the year before last. But anyway, and so me and telling him, I feel like when you first start, it feels like you as a parent, okay, well, everything's my fault. Well, no, I handled that wrong because that's the kids. But it's just been really this huge shift in perspective. It's not necessarily that everything is your fault, but that's the only behavior that you can control is your own. Like your baby can't even control their behavior. So how do you think you're going to control?
That's really all, you know, it's about acceptance and letting go, right?
Yeah.
Because once you really accept like, hey, my child is 4 and mm-hmm. a 4-year-old has very limited impulse control. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. are unable to regulate their emotions fully and they need my help to learn these things. Then once you understand that, how can you, you know, punish them for those behaviors? Right. It makes you stop and think before you react. Now, we're not always perfect. Like I said, you know, there's times where I'm just like, I had a bad day and I'm apologizing all day long for yelling yeah. and going off. But I always apologize and I always try to remember my triggers. I feel it. When I feel myself getting really upset, I make sure I like go into the other room and like scream into a pillow or something because I'm still human. And she gets on my nerves sometimes. I'm a single mom. It's a lot of togetherness. And, you know, just being honest about us as people having peopling and having our stuff, this stuff hardly ever goes away. We just have to learn how to deal with it different, right? So yeah. once we get into understanding those things and accepting those things, it becomes a little bit easier and those shifts starts to happen, like you said.
I love that. So were there any challenges that you faced kind of at the beginning of your journey? And if so, how did you overcome those challenges? I know you mentioned like kind of figuring out ways to deal with your stress on your own before reacting. So I'm sure that was a big one.
Yes, that was a big one. It's still a big one. I'm still working on pausing all the time.
Yeah.
It's like a muscle. The more you use it, the better you get at it. But still, you know, the biggest thing was just making sure that my family was on board and talking to people around me about my parenting choice, not in a way that I feel like I had to defend it, but in a way like this is how it's going to be. And this is how I expect everyone around me to fall in line. And just reiterating that, like, there is no violence. So everyone needs to figure their stuff out. And if you don't know how, just talk to me, you know? Mm-hmm. So to me, that was the biggest challenge. Now, Gia is 2.5. She'll be 3 in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I still am learning about her. You know, mm-hmm. we're still learning about each other. So there's going to be stuff that, you know, that I come up against. I'm going to be like, whoa, hey, conscious parenting. I'm so happy I learned about you, because it's going to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, difficult. I have a 14-year-old niece. I'm just like, no one has prepared me. Nothing has prepared yes. me to be a parent of a teenager, you know, because yeah. it's hard. Yeah. So I'm still learning and growing. And I think the hardest part is just understanding, like, we are co-creating this together. She mm-hmm. is learning me. I'm learning her. We're co-creating our relationship. And the more that I connect with her, the better our relationship would be.
I love that. And you bring up such a great point about, you know, basically still getting to know each other. Because like 2.5 years, when you think about that, like, that's not that long. Actually,
she's so new.
So y'all are still learning each other. And she's like, whoa, okay, maybe I don't need to push that button.
Right. Even though she still will, but.
Well, yeah, because that's what they do, right?
That's what they do. So just having that acceptance, like, this girl likes to dig into like the sliding glass door, mm-hmm. the little well there. She loves to dig in there and eat whatever she finds. I'm just like, you are just. And it drives me nuts. Yes. It drives me nuts. And every time she does it, you would think that it's the first time. I'm just like, why are you doing this? You know, so it's just like, it's still just understanding, like, she's still going to do stuff she wants to do because she's still really new and doesn't have the cognition yet to just resist that impulse to dig into the nasty crevices of the apartment, you know?
Yeah. My 2-year-old is the same way. We did finally kind of move through the eating things off the floor, because she would like walk by and, oh, there's like a random goldfish. Oh, cool. That's mine. And I'm like, stop it. Yeah. Like, I love that. But now her thing is, I was reading about it the other day. So she is apparently a scientist because she likes to experiment. It's not destructive.
Yeah. There you go. Reframing. Reframe yes. it.
Like, everything
keep
is
just. Keep yourself sane.
Yeah, you have to. You really do. So what are some of the best parts of raising Gia consciously so far? Have there been any kind of standout moments for you where you felt like, okay, that is like a sure sign that I am on the right track, like this is where we need to be?
You know, Gia is a very happy child, and she's constantly smiling. She's constantly giggling. She really does have the run of the place because, again, it's just her and I. Mm-hmm. And I just allow her to just be free. And I remember my sister came over one time. It's a weird analogy that she used, but she was just like, you know, our dog Tuna is just like Gia. And I'm like, the dog is like Gia? And she's like, yeah, just like free. I was like, well, thanks. You know, I have to think about that for a moment. But I get what she was saying. Like, my daughter really is just super free. I don't have a bunch of rules. And so it allows her to sort of explore and learn at her own pace. And I dropped just some of the guilt that I would have from having to work all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning just to accept that she really does. You know, parents are just like, oh, you know, don't watch kids under 2, shouldn't watch TV, blah, blah, blah. She has learned so much from TV. And I can watch her and she's like reciting like a dance, you know, mm-hmm. she notices so much. And I'm just seeing her explore the house and explore the things around her and always laughing, always joyful. And that's all I ever want, is for her to just have a joyful sort of disposition and not one that's always feeling like she can't do anything, touch anything. She can't jump on the girl can jump on the couch. I really don't have rules. Like I said, as long as you aren't destroying my stuff, I'm good. She has destroyed a lot of her stuff and I don't care. It's just stuff. She wrote all over her little bookshelf. It's hers. I don't care. When you go to writing on my bookshelf is when we have a problem. So I just allowed her just to be. And I think that seeing her just joyous and happy and free makes me really know that I'm on the right path.
Yeah, I love that.
Hey, y'all. So if you're listening to this episode, I know you're my tribe, and I'm 100% sure you're as passionate about supporting Black and POC-owned businesses as I am. Have you ever gone to purchase something or look for a service provider and had to jump on the Googler or wade through Facebook groups filled with spam and unrelated ads to find what you're looking for? Well, I created the Black-owned Spotlight Group to help alleviate some of that drama. Join our community where customers just like you shout out their favorite Black and POC-owned businesses with real reviews and positive experiences. Find what you're looking for through a quick search or shout out your own favorite Black or POC-owned business. Word of mouth is still huge for lots of small businesses. They need our help now more than ever, and a quick shout out is a great way to help ensure they'll be around for years to come. Ready to join us? Go to alldaybrittany.com/Black-owned-spotlight for more info. And now, back to the show.
So you talking about like allowing her to be free and allowing her to kind of do her thing and be herself, that kind of leads into questions that I wanted to ask you about decolonization, because I was thinking while you were chatting, that is something that I still struggle with, you know. Why are you coloring on your homeschool table? And, you know, again, it's there. So like, what do you care? And so, you know, just this thought that a lot of, well, I'm gonna let you explain it. So decolonization, of course, you have your podcast, Parenting Decolonized, which is one of my favorite podcasts. Yes. So explain to us exactly what decolonization is and kind of as it pertains to conscious parenting.
Decolonization is a process in which we kind of deconstruct how colonization and racism have played a part in how we have developed as Black people. So looking at things like how we are socialized together, how racism has impacted the way we think about things like manners, grammar, things that we just do without even thinking about it. Most of them come from this colonized, like white supremacist perspective. So it's kind of like unpacking what are those things. Is what I'm doing, you know, are the rules that I have for my house and for myself and for my children, where do these come from? Mm-hmm. And once you figure out where they come from, do they serve the purpose of liberation? And I'm talking about liberation as free as we can be in a place where we're still oppressed, right? Mm-hmm. So
of course,
mindset wise, because at the end of the day, we're still, you know, Black and there's still going to be some things that we can't do, right? However, I want to make sure that my mind and my parenting is decolonized and have liberated thought, and it is not mired down with messaging that is pretty much anti-Black and racist. So for instance, AAVE, you know, I remember I was in a group before mine. I was a mod for a positive parenting group, and the person who started the group was saying how she would always correct her child if they were saying using slang or, you know, ain't and all the stuff that is colloquial. I was my lisp won't let me say it right. And so I was like, well, that's anti-Black, you know, and people don't get that. It's anti-Black. Grammar is usually colonized thought. Who says what English should sound like, you know, like who made that rule? So kind of deconstructing these things and then making sure that we're not passing some of this destructive mindset down to our children, because all it does is serve to keep us in a place where we are like with internalized oppression. So I'm trying to be careful as I'm saying this, because I'm still in the process of doing the decolonizing work. You know, I don't think that is something that ever ends, because it's so deeply embedded in every aspect of American culture that I don't think that it's something that we will ever just not do. And as Black people, we have gotten past, like what's been passed down to us is really like maladaptive behavior from our ancestors who had to do stuff to keep their kids alive, to keep themselves
alive.
To stay alive.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times when you see stuff, you know, parents, Black parents who are just like, oh, if I don't hit them, the police will. I'm going to do this before my child ends up in jail or on a pole or selling drugs. You know, all these things that Black parents will say, almost like I'm doing this for your protection. A lot of it comes from the thought that who we are as Black people is inherently violent, inherently bad, and needs violence in order to be kept in check. We need to be told how bad we are all the time in order to be taught. We have to be taught how to be good, not that we are inherently good. So, you know, when it comes to conscious parenting and decolonizing, the reason why I put them together is because once we start to explore, like, why do you care, right? Why do you care if someone walks into my house? My sisters will walk in all the time and they're just like, whoa, it's messy in here. And I'm like, yeah, we live here. You know, some of this is preference, but also it's also like, okay, is it preference or do you feel like you're going to be judged by some outside person on your parenting if things are not just so? Are you concerned with the white gaze when you go out and you're, because I know I was told, don't go acting out in front of these white people before, you know? So are you concerned about that? Why are they the people that we're using to like gauge our behavior? Some of the most violent acts in this country are committed by white people. So why are we then made to feel like we are the most violent and the most misbehaved and need to be constantly looking over our shoulders, and our children can't be loud at the playground and our children need to always be perfect and look perfect? Why? That's why we do these things.
I think you just, I mean, wow. You just really kind of hit the nail on the head. So one of the things that drew me to the group was obviously it's conscious parenting, but it's conscious parenting for Black and Brown parents. And, you know, explaining, you know, decolonization and kind of how that works and, you know, some of the outside influences that we allow to kind of, you know, well, influence the way we parent. I feel like one of the biggest differences between, you know, parenting a child as a Black person or a person of color versus parenting a child as a white parent, because they don't have those same kind of, I guess, social constructs or those same issues. So that's just such a huge difference.
And that's the reason why the group is for Black parents, Black children, because there is a difference, right? It is not to say that if you have, as a white parent, you might have Black children. It's not to say that you're not going to come up against some of this stuff, but you don't experience racism, right? You might just experience discrimination, but not racial discrimination. You're not going to experience white supremacy in the way that we do. We have to approach this thing in a completely different, more nuanced way and look at why we make the decisions we do. Because when it comes to like even spanking, most of the world and most of this country spanks their children. I think it's like 70%. And so whenever, you know, people are like, well, every, you know, every race and culture, they spank. And I'm like, cool. So 60% of Black parents spank, though, the highest. There's a different reasoning why we do it versus why everyone else does it. And so we need to be willing to have that conversation and unpack why that is. And the whole time with this whole thing of, it does it serve the purpose of liberation? Does it serve the purpose of advancing us as a collective? And it does not. It has not, you know? And it's because of white supremacy, because hitting our kids is the whitest thing that we could ever do. And that's what Dr. Stacey Patton said, and I completely agree. We learned it from a plantation, and we are continuing to pass it down to our children and generations upon generations of really just maladaptive behaviors where we're just trying to survive, right? But how many of us are really thriving? How many of us are emotionally stable, are able to have great relationships? You know, how many of us know ourselves and is able to communicate effectively with other people? I don't know.
Yeah, it's still a very new concept to me. I think when I first learned about, I think the term that I read about was, Lord, is it post-traumatic slave syndrome or something?
Slave syndrome.
Yes, yes. So that, you know, when I first saw it, it was probably like a, you know, like a post, you know, one of the memes or something like that, that had gone viral. And I was like, that's reaching. But then when you do, but then when you do more research and you start to read and then you start to turn the mirror, you know, to yourself. And I remember a particular incident. We were in like Chili's or something like that. And that was when I was pregnant with Luna and Aria was two and was like just doing her normal like 2-year-old stuff. And there was an older white couple that was in the restaurant with us. And so it was like in the middle of the day. So there was literally nobody there. And so, you know, do you really expect a 2-year-old to sit still through an entire lunch? Like, no. So she was like doing her thing and dancing. And they were just so bothered by her. And I'm trying to get her to like sit still because, you know, I don't think I've ever been told like, you know, don't show out in front, but it was still internalized in me because I'm like, okay, just stop. And my mom was finally like, will you leave that girl alone? She's fine. She's being a baby. And then, you know, of course, talking about it on the way home, I'm like, wow. Okay, so maybe there's something to this.
Well, because if we really are honest about how much the white gaze affects everything that we do, then we can start to, again, address why and then start to stop doing that, you know?
Yeah.
But we have to be honest about it. And then so many of us are just like, no, I'm fine. That's not true. And like you said, that's reaching. And it's just like, when I talk to Black people about, what do you think are the ways in which we can, as far as a collective, you know, forward the collective and really help each other succeed. I talk, you know, people will throw, it's mostly about capitalism, mostly about making money, mostly about being an entrepreneur or owning a home. And for me, it's about how we parent. It's about our children and making sure that they are emotionally well, that they love themselves despite a whole country telling them not to. You know, that we give them a proper education. Even if they go to public school, we at home need to be educating them on our history and on African history. So just making sure that we are really centering Black culture in our lives so they don't grow up and sort of internalize racism like most of us have.
Absolutely. And I think so now is a really good time to bring up the conference that you have coming up. I know you mentioned in the group that, you know, there's, of course, not a lot of positive or conscious parenting conferences that feature speakers that look like us or even anything out there that's really kind of directed to us. So I think it's really amazing what you're doing in creating that space for us. So tell us about the conference.
Yeah, so Parenting Decolonized is going to have its first conference focused on Rona, racism, and radical parenting. Going to be just addressing, you know, it's been so chaotic this year, right? And so traumatizing for parent and child. And so what we want to do is bring together, you know, 20 plus Black professionals. It's going to be a panel of all Black professionals in education and mental health, child development, and just discuss how we can make sure that we are not reverting back to oppressive ways of parenting during this chaotic time. So these talks are going to be really specific to Black parents, but anyone can join the conference. I'm just going to throw that out there because people ask me that all the time. Anyone can join the conference. It's just, you know, we try to, my friend Danielle, who is an author, she's helped me to put this whole thing together. And so we are making sure that it feels like a really big family reunion. We want it to feel intimate. We want it to feel fun. We want the topics to really speak to some of the issues that parents are feeling right now. So like, for instance, one of the topics is going to be like, all my life I had to fight. So I feel like, exactly, you get it. So that's the point. The point is, all my life I had to fight. You know what I'm saying? Get your mind right. Use your inside voice. We're trying to make sure that we are showing y'all that this is going to be something that's specific for Black parents. And we're going to be discussing, what we want is for everyone to walk away with actionable tips, not just people who are giving you high level, like, this is how you conscious parent. We want you to be walking away with notebook full of actionable tips and things that you can do to really stay conscious throughout this chaotic time. That's not going to go away in 2021, y'all. Okay. Right. The conference is going to be next year. It's January 15th, 16th to 17th. The weekend before MLK Day. And it's going to be free. General admission tickets are going to be free. But we're also going to be offering the chance to purchase a VIP all access passes that will include things like workbooks and courses and webinars and things just to really help you level up if you need more than just, you know, hearing these professionals speak at this conference. You'll be able to have things that you can actually work on afterwards. And even the ability to possibly do some workshops through the sessions as well with some of these professionals.
Awesome. That sounds really cool. And I'm super excited for that. I think I already signed up for it. So for the VIP information, will that be sent to that email? Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Keep an eye out for that.
So what I'm trying to do, I just want to know how many people are interested so we can make sure our tech is right. You know, this is my first conference. I'm hoping it's not my last. And so I want to make sure I'm doing it right. And I'm putting it out there now so I can just be like, hey, get on this list. let me know if you're interested. I want to make sure this tech is right, but also you'll get emails with updates about the conference. So you'll definitely get an email about that so you can take advantage.
Perfect. So for anyone listening to, and of course, we'll drop the links too for anyone listening that wants to kind of jump in with the conference. It sounds like it's going to be really amazing. So I'm looking forward to it. So for anyone listening to this episode who is considering kind of starting on this journey, whether they have kids already or maybe they're pregnant and they're kind of already thinking along those lines of how they want to parent, what would you say is the biggest piece of advice that you want them to kind of go away with?
Biggest piece of advice is to really work on yourself, to really understand your mindset and how you feel about children, about their place in the world. And if you really want to be a conscious parent, you see your child, you treat them with respect and you see them as equal to you. Not equal in the sense of they get to pay bills too, right? But equal in the sense of they're a person with feelings. They deserve to be respected. If you're not there yet, then there's going to be some work that you have to do to sort of shift that mindset to be able to see your child as a human being who needs to be guided and not one that needs to be controlled. So the very first thing that I would suggest you do is just to sit and just really think about, like, how do I feel about children? How do I feel about their place in this world? Mm-hmm. And then what do I want for my child? What kind of person do I want my child to be? How do I envision them? What kind of life do I envision for them? Look at that list. And then you have to really look at that list and think, who do I have to be for my child to have this sort of life or to be this sort of person? How do I level up myself so I can give my child the things that I want to give them and teach them these things, how to be a good person, how to be a good friend, you know, a good partner? What do you need to do in your life in order mm-hmm. to be able to model those things to your children? And then take it from there.
Gotcha. And are there any resources that you would like to recommend? I was going to say for parents just starting out, but I think just in general, is there any books or anything like that that you'd like to recommend to everyone?
One of the great books, Parenting for Liberation by my friend Trina Green Brown. And she talks about conscious parenting, but she approaches it from three different kind of places where it's like connecting with your children, connected with yourself, connected with the community. So it's also about decolonizing as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a great one. The Conscious Parent by Dr. Shefali is also one that I highly recommend. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about understanding age-appropriate behavior, understanding a little bit about neuroscience, I always recommend Ages and Stages, a child development book that will just help you, especially in the beginning, understand what's normal and what's not and how to kind of approach it. And then The Whole Brain Child by Dr. Dan Siegel. That book really helps break down, like, especially for younger toddlers, mm-hmm. about the tantrums and about the mood swings and how to parent your child. So you're raising them to be emotionally well, and you're raising them to understand their emotions. I really feel like so many of us do not understand our emotions. We do not understand how to react to our emotions. Thus, we do not understand how to react to our children's emotions, right? So many of us are like, they're crying. I can't stand when they're crying. It's okay to be frustrated by crying. I'm not saying that. But think about this. What happened when you cried when you were younger? Did your parents make you stop? Did they tell you that you shouldn't be crying? You know, I'll give you something to cry for. Those mm-hmm. kind of messages, they really stifle your own emotional development. It makes it difficult for you to be able to connect with your child emotionally when they need, all they need for you to let them do is cry. You don't have mm-hmm. to stop the crying. So that's what the book is about. I went through a whole thing, but it's the truth. You don't have to stop the crying. All you got to do is hold space for them and allow them to feel their emotions. And so that's what that book helps you do.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing those. I think it is just starting out. I know for me, just starting out, trying to find resources and all of that was kind of like, it's nice to have it, you know, kind of all written in a list. So the group has been really helpful. And I was just going to do a quick shout out to the units too in your conscious parenting group. So I did them way back when I joined and kind of, you know, like popping in and they're like, okay, well, let me see what they say about this particular like incident. But me and my husband actually made the because he's been having issues because I'm still learning. And so he kind of learns from me. And so sometimes my advice changes because I'm like, well, I actually just read this article that says maybe we should be doing it this way. So I suggested to him recently, I'm like, well, let's try the units together and like kind of go through them and see, you know what I mean? Like kind of, I love how it breaks it down in kind of bite-sized, kind of easy to consume bullet points. So it's been very helpful.
Well, you know what? Crystal and I, and Crystal is my co-founder for Conscious Parent Design, we are actually in the process of creating a course based on those units. It should be finished quite soon. Mm-hmm. And what we wanted was to make it so people are really actionable, like you said, bite-sized piece of ways for you to take stuff away. Because I feel like sometimes you get these courses and there's so much information and yes. you're like, whoa, okay, y'all need to calm down with this information. We really try to break stuff down in a way that is not overwhelming. We're working on that right now. And we realize that people are not doing the units. Mm-hmm. Every time I get a question, I'm just like, did you read them units? I don't think you did. And so this is just be a way when you're not online, you'll be able to access it. I'm sorry, when you're not on Facebook, you'll be able to access it and get your mind right in those moments when you're struggling.
Yes, that's awesome. We'll definitely look out for that. So how can we find you?
I am on Facebook, Parenting Decolonized. And I'm going to have to send you, because I'm on Instagram too, but I don't know why I spelled it. I spelled it in a weird way and no one can find me when I spell it out. But if you are a Black parent and you need some extra help, you can join Conscious Parenting for the Culture. And then we also have a page, Conscious Parenting Time, where we, you know, give advice as well.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again, Yolanda, for joining me. This has been an awesome chat. You've dropped so much knowledge. And yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. Congratulations on launching your podcast.
Thank you very much. It's been quite a journey already. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're new here, join our tribe and hit that subscribe button. And be sure to come and find me on Instagram at itsbrittany24 and tell me what you thought of this week's episode. I value your opinions and your feedback, so feel free to leave a comment or shoot me a DM and let me know your thoughts. Until next time.